Before we give our testimony, we usually have this little family song. Jesus made this, I know. You ready, Trisha? One, two, three.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little one to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Yes, I want to 凡小孩子祖母养，我虽软弱，主强壮。主耶稣爱我，主耶稣爱我，主耶稣爱我，用圣经。
Thank you. Well, thank you for having us, family, here receiving us. Thank you for this church that has love to us, our family. And thank you for the burden to the ministry in China. Why we every time before I give the testimony sing this song? Jesus loves me, this I know. But how come from this Chinese guy? I was grow up in the idol worship family and receive a public school, the atheist education. Know that the only way is God to show us his love is from his word, the Bible. This song says only the Bible tells us so. That's why I know Jesus loves me. I'm sure Jesus loves me. I was grow up in a family, follow my mom to worship the idols. Particular one time, I followed my mom to a temple. I forget that name of the place. But I have come back, there was a darkness power. There is a horror in me. I was scared. I cannot sleep. At that time, my grandma is not living with us, Then just one day, she came to visit us. She just went to Hong Kong, a gospel revival meeting, and she got saved, became a Christian. Just shortly that she came in, my family visited us. And I cannot hold that, you know, a grandchild who is dear to grandma. And so I begin to tell him, Grandma, I'm so scared. And at night, I just cannot fall asleep. I'm so scared. I don't know what to do, Grandma. And he just simply told me, you need to pray to Jesus. He is the Lord of the Lords, King of Kings. I have no idea what does that mean, Jesus Christ. But I want to listen to grandma here. I had no other thing I can think about, I can do about it. That scaredness, the darkness, so I follow with my grandma, and whatever she pray, I pray. And remember the last sentence I said, in Jesus' name we pray, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. And then immediately, that night, I made that prayer, and that night the darkness go away. And then I was saved. I don't understand what the true meaning of Jesus Christ, what means of him to save me. He is the Savior. But there's something happened. I know there's something special. There's a power that in the name of Jesus Christ. But I was continue to receive the atheistic education in the public school, telling us a man is from the monkey, and monkey from something, something from nothing. Bam, that is. But the root of the public school education, the evolution theory, is telling you, you do not need a God to explain everything. You know, we have all this kind of theory to explain how this world will work. We do not need a God to explain this thing. But that things happened in my childhood's life, the prayer to Jesus Christ, is grounded in my heart. So I become a double-faced person. Inwardly, I think there's something special about the name of Jesus Christ. And outwardly, I received the atheist education. I said, yeah, we are come from monkey, come monkey from something, something from nothing. But all this way, I was a double-faced person, and then all the way to the college, I met a missionary from state. And then we become very good friends very soon. And of course, in China, you cannot say you are a missionary. And he is under the cover learning the Chinese language in my university. And one day, we have been friends. He's very kind, very kind to me. And one day, he showed his hidden agenda. He picked up the Bible. Oh, wow. I'm expecting he was saying something to me. But he explained from God's word that God loves me, but I don't understand his love. I don't understand this God's, how he loves me, because sin separates us from him. But only there's no way by my good work, religious works, anything that save myself from hell, from my sin. Only by one way is of Jesus Christ. That reminds, struck my heart, because I follow my mom, worship those idols. Those gods are optional. You went to this temple. If this God did not answer your prayer, you went to another temple, give a little bit of chicken, money, anything, and you expect a bigger reward. So they are optional. If this do not listen to you, you go to other place. You are choose. But the Bible tells us there's not many ways. There's only one way. There's no name be given under the heaven. There's only one name, Jesus Christ, that we can trust him to be saved from our sin. That's not optional. That day I struck my heart, and then he introduced me to underground church. But I still struggle fighting, because if I accept Christ, that means I need to tear down all the thing, all the this year before college, all this year the education built up in my mind, that the system, I need to deny all of it. Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to deny myself. I don't want to tear down myself. I was finding an excuse to fight over Christ, fighting into Jesus. No, I tried to object. But he introduced me to underground church. One day, the preacher preaching John chapter 4, and Jesus talking to Samaritan, the living water. God's word is powerful. God's word is, well, he specifically used that Bible words. Whosoever drink this water shall thirst again. But the water I shall give to him shall become a well of water springing into everlasting life. That Bible word strike my heart, and the Holy Ghost just working on my heart, showing me I just like that Samaritan woman. I try to grab many those waters. It won't work. I'm keep thirsty and thirsty. There's one like that. There's one way that I know. In her life, she needs Christ. I need Christ too. And that day God used that Bible word, strike and broken the door in my heart, the hardness of my heart, that I received Christ as my personal Savior. That's my first year in college. And since that day, Christ changed my life. The story not ends up there. And many years later on, I received a scholarship, come to the United States and to University of Tennessee to have my PhD degree. Actually, I spent the first month in the United States. You guess what I'm looking for? I'm not going to traveling and look around city tour. I used my first month traveling many churches, because there's many questions that I was in China, the underground church, have mixed doctrine, as the pastor mentioned this morning. The Calvinistic preaching is a majority influence, and also charismatic movement is a majority influence to underground church China nowadays. So I so messed up. I have so many questions. I don't know. I'm expecting come to stay not only for a PhD degree, but also a place that God will show me his answer to my question. So I spent the first month looking around churches. I don't know how many I visit. You can name off that. And I remember God answered a prayer the day he brought me to Temple Baptist Church. It's there I listened to the preaching of God's word and seeing people's that their view, their attitude towards God's word is different. God's word is precious to them, and there is only their sole authority of their faith and practice of life, and see that literally in people's lives, and that grabbed hold on me. Story not answered of that particular American, the first American gift is from a Crown College student. One day he saw me taking a Bible, which is an NIV and Chinese Union bilingual Bible, come to church. He did not say anything. He did not try to lecture me and say me. He just bought me a precious King James Bible and a little gift Bible, gave it to my hand. He said, "Brother, this is my gift to you. I would like you to read it." And I opened it. It's so precious, because this is every first gift from an American friend to me. So I opened it, I read it, and God opens my eye. is seeing why in this Bible is so clear about the teaching. And there's some Bible in my Chinese Bible and the NIV Bible is completely missing. Romans chapter 8, whosoever in Christ shall not be condemned. But the second part, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, disappear. So many similar the things happening in my Chinese Bible. And that is why all those years I have seen God's Word, I was planting those doubting seed in my heart because it's not giving me the yea or nay. It's like a lot of places missing this part and that part. And that day, God began using that friendship through that friendship, using His Word, His preserved Word, His Bible, and then to revive my spiritual life. Before, my Christian life is built on emotional, some experience. Today I feel good, I feel God loves me, and tomorrow something happened, maybe God is not loving me, don't care about me. And but that day on, God began building my life only upon His Word. His Word is our solo authority. And then God putting that burden in my heart that to preach His Word, that He called me to preach His Word. I met my wife at Crown College, and we met at Temple Baptist Church. And in 2011, we married, and my wife was called to mission. She grew up so different family background. Her parents used to be missionary to Indonesia. So they come back to the field, they raise up in the godly way, and God called her when she was age of eight. She answered God's calling and submit herself to the missions. She come to Crown and to prepare herself. We met there. 2000, we get married. And 2012, and God opens a door, and I buy a like 10 maker, we do not, by my degree, I'm taking a full-time job at university in China, and I begin planting the church in the chicken feed. And today in the morning, you look at the China, the map of display table, the map of China is like a chicken. We are from the chicken feed, the very bottom, very south of China, a city called Zhuhai, and right across the harbor of Hong Kong, that's where we are. We begin planting the church, and Lord bless it, and Lord bless the ministry and people. God save, and if you have time, you can come up to our display table. But more important, I want to emphasize one thing, is this. Since the day I get to know the King James Version Bible, there's a burden in my heart because there's 1.3 billion population in China. But majority of them, they are using an NIV Bible, and which is here missing all that, the missing things there. I wonder, Lord, don't you really don't have a word for the Chinese Bible, for the Chinese people? That burden my heart. I'm praying. Then God showed me one day, you know what? There is a Bible translated from the Text of Receptors that is 60 years before the Union Bible came. But why that Bible is hidden? That Bible is called Peking Community Bible. That Bible was hidden because the communists of China, the government take over China, one night every missionary kicked out, every church closed down, every Bible printing will become illegal in China. And that, hopefully this is not put on the internet. But that they closed down, but they hidden that. And the missionary family, they spent years, they are fluent in Chinese. And Pastor Deng in Beijing, he spent years studying the history in China. That found out there is a Bible. And in the Chinese history, that is the modern Chinese, in the modern Chinese, the people can understand, are translated, has the same source of King James Bible. So our ministry spotlight is, please pray for that. Since 2 years ago, we planned the church, we began preaching and teaching this Peking Community Bible, and people's life are changing. Not by our works, but God's Word. God's Word will change in people's life. Please pray for us. We are now close to our 25% support level, and we are planning to going back to China by the end of this year. Please pray for us that God will open the door for us, that we will continue the work that God already started at China. Thank you.
Amen. All right. Thank you, brother, for that. Let's have another song, please. Let's turn to hymn number 189, hymn number 189, and we'll sing the first and last verse of Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, and Connie Johnson is going to come and sing for us. Hymn number 189, on that first verse. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, oh what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This time, Connie Johnson is going to come and sing for us. Thank you, Connie, for that. At this time, we're going to dismiss our young people back to junior church. So if you've been waiting to go back there, you can head back there right now. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. So good to see each and every one of you out today. The book of Jude, look at verse number 22 and 23. Jude, verse 22 and verse number 23, the Bible says, "And some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments that are spotted by the flesh." And some have compassion, making a difference. My question is this morning, do you want to make a difference in eternity? Do you want to make a difference in eternity? Let's bow for a word of prayer, please. Father in heaven, Lord, we do ask and pray that you'd help us today. I pray, Lord, that you'd guide and direct. Lord, I pray that you'd have your word just lay heavy upon our hearts. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that's lost, I pray, Lord, that they would get saved before it's eternally too late. And Lord, those of us that are saved, I pray, Lord, you put a desire in our hearts, Lord, to be a difference maker in our communities, in our homes, and in this world. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I appreciate the testimony that Brother Caden gave and how that his grandmother made a difference in his life. You know, down through my life, there has been different people that's really made an impact on my life. There was a few school teachers that I had that really took time and effort for me and helped me. One was a science teacher by the name of Gary Sugar at Lakota High School. And he was a great help to me, actually took interest in me. There was another teacher believe it or not, her name was Sin, S-I-N. And I don't know how she came up with a name like that, but Miss Sin, I give her a hard time like every English teacher I ever had. I gave him a hard time. And she cared enough about me to give me a detention. And I said, "Listen, if you give me a detention, you got to take me to work because I'm going to be late." She says, "That's not a problem." Drove me clear to work up to Faustoria and dropped me off so I wouldn't be late for work. And she cared about me. It made a difference in my life. And it helped me to get over some things that was going on in my life. But when I stop and really think about what really made a real difference in my life was a mother and a grandmother that prayed for me. And a wife that cared about me. Cared enough to insist that I go to church with her. And I'm thankful. And there was a preacher that really made an impact on my life. And he is still living today. He's unfortunately up in a dementia ward up in the Ypsilanti, Michigan area. Gene Milioni. Great preacher, great man of God. And he preached the word of God with boldness. Declared the word of God. And he made an impact in my life. He had an associate pastor that knocked on our door and during an invitation time led me to Christ, made an impact on my life, made a difference in my life. And I'm here today because there are people that invested in me and they were difference makers in my life. You know, it's one thing to make a difference in your life. It's a completely another thing to make a difference in eternity. And I believe as a child of God, we need to go ahead and not only make a difference in people's lives, but we need to make a difference in people's eternities. Because the bottom line is this, after all of our education, after all of our income, after all of our retirement, one day we're going to stand before God. And we better make sure that someone has made a difference in our lives, and we need to make sure that we are making a difference in eternity in someone else's lives. As I go through the book of Jude, there are 12 observations that I found in the book of Jude. Now, when I said 12, some of you raised your eyebrows. Oh, no, this is going to be a long sermon, 12 points. Just buckle your seatbelt. I won't tarry long at any of them. But I want you to notice as Jude describes these observations, here are some things, if we're going to be a real difference maker, not only in life, but in eternity, here are some things that we need to have in order to make a difference now and forever. I want you to notice this morning as we begin, look what it says in verse number 3. And as we begin to read this morning, let's begin in verse number 1. It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Now notice verse 3. Verse number 1 tells us he is writing to save people. They are sanctified, they are preserved, and they are called. You can't get around it. These people that he is writing to, Jude is writing to save people. People that are born again. People that know the Lord as their Savior. But notice what it says in verse number 3. Beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. If I'm going to be a difference maker in people's lives and a difference maker in eternity, number one, I must have experienced that common salvation that is available to everyone. Whether it's people in Australia or people in China, people in Japan, people here in the Americas, it doesn't make any difference. It is the same plan of salvation regardless of where you go in this world. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Listen, the Chinese man doesn't get saved any different than the Greek man, or the man from Yugoslavia, or the man from Norway, or the man from Washington, D.C. Would to God more of them there would get saved, amen? And it's the same salvation for people here in the state of Ohio. It is a common salvation. There is not a special gospel that has to go to a foreign land. It is the same old story, as the song says. It is the story about Jesus Christ. And we need to understand today that if I'm going to be a real difference maker in eternity, then I need to go ahead and experience the common salvation that's available to all mankind. The Apostle Paul said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That means a young, rebellious 20-year-old that thought he had all the answers. And God saved my soul because it was a common salvation. And when God saved me, he put down inside of my heart a desire to make a difference. Not just people's lives, but people's eternities. Because one life will soon be passed, and what's done for Christ will last, and it'll last for all eternity. So number one, you must experience a common salvation that Jude spoke of. Jesus said in Mark chapter number 8, verse 36 and 37, "For what should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" After all of your finances and after all of your wealth and after all your education, after all of your political clout that you might have in this world, after your nice family and after all your religious upbringing, listen to me. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you've lost it all. We need to realize without Christ, we have nothing now and we have nothing for all of eternity. We die without Jesus Christ, all is vain. The second thing I want you to notice what it says in verse number 3. Jude is saying that not only do we need to be a partaker of that common salvation, we need to earnestly contend for the faith. We need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Now, I looked up that word, earnestly contend. And that word, the words earnestly contend, actually comes from a word that means to struggle for. You know, I meet a lot of people that are struggling. I talk to people and they say, you know, preacher, I'm just trying to get through the week. I'm just trying to make ends meet. I've got more month than I've got money, preacher. And I'm just struggling to get by. May I encourage you to do what Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse number 33? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And if you keep in context what Jesus was saying, he was talking about the daily necessities of life. And if you will go ahead and put Jesus Christ first in your life, then he will make sure that you have everything you need for life. Some people are just struggling to make ends meet. Some are struggling for acceptance. You know, everybody wants to be accepted by their peers. And some people just struggle to make sure that they're accepted by everyone. I was listening to a documentary the other day, and they were talking about the struggles that young people have. And they said that young girls from the age of 9 years old to 14 years old, suicide is up 200%. Why? Because they fail to realize that acceptance from man is not as important than acceptance from God. And they fail to realize that God loves them. And there's people around them that love them, care about them, and accept them. But you know what's happening? They're trying to be accepted by their peers, and they get on Facebook, and they get on all these other social media programs, and behind the scenes, people are bashing them and trashing them and saying all kinds of evil things. Listen, Facebook ought to be used for something positive, not a platform to go ahead and spout evil things about other people. Amen? Amen. And if you can't say something nice on Facebook, then get off. Amen? Well, I'll tell you what, that'll preach for a while. I know homes that have been destroyed and families that have been destroyed because people are on social media, and it gives them a platform without responsibility. We need to earnestly contend for the faith, and that means to struggle. And some people are struggling to make ends meet, and some are struggling for acceptance, and some are just struggling to be heard. But I tell you what we ought to be struggling for. We ought to be struggling with getting the message to the next generation. We ought to use all the means possible to get the message out. Right now, we are live streaming via Facebook. Last week we did this, there was 300 hits in the matter of minutes. I had a person from the Ukraine log on and was watching. Another person logging on from Japan was logging on. Imagine that. Watching. I had another person log on from Africa. You say, how are they doing this? Through using media properly. I'm here to say this. There are people out there that needs to hear. And we are in a struggle, a social, a media struggle, an entertainment struggle. And everybody wants to get their voice out. If there's a voice that ought to be heard, it ought to be the voice of Jesus Christ, amen? And Christians ought to be in a struggle to make sure that we use every means possible, bus ministry and Sunday school and visitation, but also all kinds of media opportunity to tell the gospel around the world. We are to earnestly contend for the faith. That's going to make a difference in people's lives. I wrote an article a number of years ago about tattoos and how that Christians shouldn't have those things. It's against the Bible. And I began to, we put it on the internet. Boy, I got a bunch of hate mail about how, you know, how dare you say these things? Well, it's in the Bible. That's how I can say those things, amen? And so all of a sudden, it caught on fire, and there's probably 6 or 7 different websites that copied and pasted my article, and there was a group from Africa, I don't know, in the Republic of the Congo, I think it was, that actually took my article and was teaching their people about the dangers of tattoos and why Christians shouldn't get them over in Africa. And there were a bunch of them that was actually, they got a website and my article's on there. And I'm thinking, what? You know what? We ought to use every means possible to get the Word of God out. Not just about tattoos, but about the cross of Christ. That's what's really important. We ought to struggle for the faith. Struggle getting this book out, the whole counsel of God. And then also I want you to notice, if we're going to be a difference maker, we need to learn to go ahead and stay faithful during times of deception. Look at verse number 4 of this passage of Scripture. After Jude tells them that they need to earnestly contend for the faith, he says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who before were ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord and God, our Lord Jesus Christ." The Bible says that there's going to be coming a time when there's going to be people that are going to rise up and they're going to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. You say, well, preacher, what in the world is lasciviousness? Lasciviousness is a strong, lustful, sexual desire. That's what lasciviousness is. And the Bible says here in verse number 4, before he said that we need to make a difference, he said there's going to be people that are going to come in and they're going to creep in unaware. And they're going to take the grace of God and they're going to turn it into sinful practice. That's what's happening in our country. People today are advocating what restroom people should use. I think our government's got better things to do than spend our taxpayers' money debating such things. You see, they're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Our president has advocated equal access for restrooms, locker rooms, and shower rooms. Thankfully, there has been some politicians that stood up and said, I don't care what the president says, this is wrong and it's immoral. Amen. I will not allow my children and grandchildren to be exposed to such things. Boys and girls should not use the same shower rooms. And if they try to pass things here in this area, we need to stand up. It is wrong, it is immoral, it is wicked. It is turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And they're creeping in unaware. We're going to make a difference in people's lives and eternity. We need to stay faithful during times of deception. Ungodly men. Denying our Lord Jesus Christ. Denying the only God. We need to take a stand for what's right. And then I want you to notice verse number 14 and verse number 15. We need to be steadfast during wicked days. And as the days of judgment approach, The Bible describes in verse number 14 and 15, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these. Prophesied of who? Prophesied of those wicked men. Prophesied of those individuals who are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, who are practicing all kinds of ungodly practices. Enoch prophesied of those, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." You know, we're living in a day and an age when people are not allowed to say things are sinful. Well, you know, they've got a mental disorder, or they've got some type of ism about them, or some type of ology behind them. You know, they want to label things and give it a scientific name. The bottom line is, most of this stuff is just nothing more than sin. And we need to call sin what it is. Amen? Amen. And we find here that before the judgment came, before the flood came, Enoch and Noah and others were preaching. They were preaching righteousness and godliness and holiness and purity. If we're going to make a difference in our lives, then we need to make sure that we're steadfast during wicked days, and as the judgment approaches, we need to make sure that we do not waver. Moms and dads, listen to me. Your children and grandchildren are watching you. And if you waver, if you veer off path, they will follow. We need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, realizing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. I want you to notice the fifth thing. Look at verse number 18 and 19. In verse number 18 and 19, it says how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. We need to understand here that the Bible is talking about those individuals who are living against the Word of God. And what are we to do? We're to walk in the Spirit regardless of what the world does. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit that ye fulfill not the lust of the flesh." And regardless of how wicked the world gets, we need to let our light shine. And they may go ahead and pass laws that are contrary to the Word of God, and we need to let our light shine in this world. They may go ahead and make it illegal to witness to people and tell people about Jesus Christ, and we need to turn up the light and let the light shine anyway, amen? They may say it's wrong to carry your Bible, and it might be wrong to go ahead and pray with your children or convert your children, as it is in some countries, but we need to go ahead and turn up the heat and turn up the light and let the light shine in this dark world, amen? We are living in a day and an age when wickedness is running rampant, and yet we need to walk in the Spirit of God. As Dr. Bruce Cummins said years ago, "My human best filled with the Spirit of God." Look at verse 20. Now buckle your seatbelt. I'm going to go quick. Verse number 20 tells us, if I'm going to make a difference in people's lives, I need to have salvation experience. I need to earnestly contend for the faith. I need to stay faithful during times of deception. I need to make sure that I stay steadfast during wicked days as the judgment is approaching. And by the way, you cannot look around this world and read the newspaper or watch the evening news and not say that something's major not going to happen here real soon. The handwriting is on the wall. The book of Proverbs says in chapter number 14, "Righteousness exalteth the nation." We want America to be great again. We need to turn back to God. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Answers to America's problems does not lie in the political platform of any candidate. It lies with our Lord Jesus Christ and getting back to church, back to the Bible, back to holy and godly living. So what are we to do? When we are surrounded by wicked individuals, by the way, that's the day in which Jude lived. That's the day and age that he was writing about Noah and about Enoch. He says in verse number 20, "But ye, beloved," Jude was living during a very persecuted time. They were killing Christians. "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Number six, we are to build up ourselves. It takes dedication, it takes desire, it takes time. We need to be in the process of building up ourselves. And if you are failing spiritually, it is not your preacher's fault, and it is not your Sunday school teacher's fault. You need to take time to build up yourselves. I got a set of weights down my basement. I bought them probably about 8 years ago. Needless to say, I haven't used them very much. I've used them to be a coat hanger, and we've stacked boxes on them. Every once in a while, I'll go down there and I'll get ambitious and I'll push a little bit of weights on the machine, and I walk away and I think, man, I've really done something great. And not to go down there and mess with it again for another 6 months. I'll be honest with you, I've been busy for the last year. But you know what? If we don't take time to build ourselves up physically, just having the equipment is not going to help you. And just because you've got the equipment right here, it's not going to help you unless you get into it. Amen? So we need to build up ourselves. Verse number 20 says we are to pray in the Holy Ghost. In other words, we need to be praying in the will of God, praying, claiming the Word of God. You cannot claim the Word of God and be outside of the will of God and be praying in the Holy Ghost. So if you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're praying in the will of God, doing what God wants you to do. Number eight, we are to keep ourselves in the love of God. God is love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But we need to understand that we are to keep ourselves. In John chapter 14, verse 21, it says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself unto him." You know, words are cheap. I hear people say, "Oh yeah, I love God." And then they live any way they want to. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they commit immoral acts, and they say, "Oh yeah, I love God." You're a liar. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We need to understand that if I'm going to be a difference maker, I must keep myself in the love of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." In John 15, verse number 10, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Therefore, to keep oneself in the love of God is to walk a life of obedience to the Lord. That's what it means when it says keeping yourself in the love of God. Number nine, we are to look for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Verse 21 says, "Although they build, they were to build themselves up and to pray in the Holy Ghost, and to keep themselves in the love of God, yet this building, praying, and keeping cannot merit heaven. After all diligence and earnestness, self-denial, and watching, they must look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring them to eternal life." Look what it says in verse 21. "Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ." Every day we need to be looking for God's mercy in our life. Look at verse 22. And some have compassion, making a difference. You know, there's boys and girls all around us, and moms and dads all around us that need to have compassion. There's people that ride our bus in, or buses. They've never been to church before. I've had people walked into church the last few weeks. They had never been to church before. They don't know how to act. They don't know what to say. This is a brand new experience. Those of you that are old codgers, been around for a while, show a little compassion. Amen? Show a little compassion to those people that's never experienced anything. Kids are going to run down the halls. They're going to make a mess. They're going to probably break some things. And it might be even some of my grandkids right in the midst. And it might be a bus kid. It might be one of your kids or grandkids. You know what? Let's have some compassion on them. I'm not advocating that children ought to run wild. You know that. But I'm saying there are going to be people that are going to come into our midst that have no idea what God is about and what church is about. Let's have compassion on them. And some have compassion, making a difference. Last night, for some reason, we couldn't get the Cleveland Indians in. We like to watch the Cleveland Indians and watch the ball game. And so last night, my wife turned on this show. And I'd never seen it before. And it was about this family that, a white couple and a family that took in this black teenager, big black teenager down in Tennessee. And they taught him how to play football. And they showed compassion to that young man. I'll be honest with you, my heart was touched with the whole show. It's called The Blind Side. Would to God we'd exercise that in our Christian life. Yeah, but you know, they come from the wrong side of the tracks, preacher. You know, we really don't want that kind in our church. Listen, we need to have sinners come into our church, amen? Because the Bible says that the Lord came to seek and to save that which is lost. We need to have great compassion. That's what's going to make a difference in his life. That's what's going to make a difference in her life. Where would I be today if someone didn't show compassion to me? When I first went to church, I had long hair, a pack of Marlboros in my shirt pocket. I mean, big hair. I mean, 70s hair, all right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that's scary. Afro. You say, oh no. Oh yeah, I had a big fro. I mean, laid on my shoulders. You know, and I walked, it kind of bounced. Yeah, I'm cool. Yeah. Yeah, I've come to understand the word cool means not very hot. I was a sight. And you know what? Someone showed compassion to me. And help me to understand that I needed the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And you know what? When I got saved, it wasn't long. All of a sudden, the hair went. The cigarettes went. I started doing what the Lord wanted me to do. Because someone showed compassion. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? How he passed by and there was someone that fell among thieves and was beaten and stripped and left half dead along the roadside. He looked on him and had compassion on him. May I suggest to you that could have been any one of us laying alongside the road in need of help? And then look at verse 23. If I'm going to really make a difference in someone's life, it says in verse number 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating the garments that are spotted by the flesh. You know, there's a lot of things that sinners do that just really irritate me. And it bothers me. But I have to look beyond that and realize that they have an eternal soul that someday is going to spend eternity somewhere. And I have to look at them through the eyes of compassion and realize that if they don't end up getting saved, they're going to die and go to a place called hell where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not, where there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I have to realize that I need to have compassion on them, and I need to save them with fear, realizing that they have an eternal destiny. And listen, when someone gets saved, it's like reaching down into the portal of hell and grabbing them and pulling them out of the fire. You know, when you catch a good glimpse of what hell is going to be like, and the multitudes that are slipping off every day into a Christless eternity, it'll help you to be a difference maker for eternity. We are to have fear for some. Why? Because I see their future. I see the sphere of their influence. And I need to have compassion on them. And I fear for some. And then verse 23, it says that we are to hate the garment that is spotted by the flesh. In the Bible time, leprosy was talked about a lot. Leprosy not only affected people, sometimes it affected clothing. In the Old Testament, it described a house being filled with a leprous spot. And sometimes it got so bad they'd have to tear the house down, burn everything. Leprosy is always a picture of sin. Sin bothers me. If you're saved, sin ought to bother you. I see the destructive nature of sin. I see the vice of sin, the strongholds that it binds people in. Alcohol and drugs and pornography. I was watching a documentary the other day about human trafficking. You know, I don't know why they don't just call it what it is. It's prostitution. But they were talking about children being forced into the sex slave trade. And I'm thinking to myself, children ought to be riding bikes and flying kites and going fishing. They ought to enjoy the things that young people are supposed to enjoy. Amen? Can I hear an amen? That's what they're supposed to enjoy. They shouldn't have to worry about whether or not someone is going to come and abuse them and take advantage of them. And I think of those things, and I think of the garments spotted by the flesh. And I think of the child abuse. And I think of all the things that happens. And I'm glad for this one thing, that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. You know what the answer is? It's Christ. Sin will leave its mark in the outward appearance of man. But we are to love the sinner. But Jude is telling us, if we're going to make a difference as a believer, we cannot allow the sinfulness of mankind to spoil our testimony and ruin our own lives. As a child of God, we are to draw close to God. We are to cast off the old man and renew the new man inside every day. I believe that we're living in the last days. Christians need to be proactive as a difference maker. The time for apathy, the time for half-heartedness, the time for carnality ought to be over. Jesus Christ is coming soon, and the world needs to see Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. We stop and think about being a difference maker. Two questions. Number one, are you a difference maker for eternity? Number two, do you desire to be a difference maker for eternity? I hope and pray that each and every one of us will say, yes, preacher, that's me. Either I'm doing it now, or by the grace of God, I'm going to start being a difference maker for eternity. Jude tells us how to do that. Let's bow our heads, please. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as our piano player and organist comes, as workers come, I hope and pray that you will determine today that you're going to be a difference maker for eternity. Not just in life, but eternity. Father in heaven, Lord, I do ask and pray that you'd help us today. Lord, we need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, help us to make a difference in people's lives for eternity. I'm thankful, Lord, for the people that invested in my life. And Lord, I'm thankful for the fact that I know for sure that I know where I'm going to spend eternity. But Lord, I know that's not the case for many people. So Lord, help us to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to stand firm on the word of God and not waver. Help us, Lord, not to accept the sinful practices of this wicked world. But Lord, help us to let the light of Christ shine in us and through us. I pray, Lord, now that you bless in a great way. Guide and direct, we ask it in Christ's name. With every head bowed,